Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Feeding the Machine the Hidden Human Labor Powering AI, is a nonfiction investigation of the labor, infrastructure, and power relations behind artificial intelligence. Written by Callum Kant, James Muldoon, and Mark Graham, the book argues that AI is often presented as seamless automation, when in fact it depends on a large and frequently invisible workforce. Drawing on fieldwork and interviews across multiple countries, it examines data annotation, content moderation, warehouse work, technical labor, and creative labor as essential parts of the AI supply chain, rather than treating AI as a purely technical achievement. The book frames it as a social and economic system shaped by outsourcing, low pay, corporate concentration, and extractive business models. Its purpose is both explanatory and critical. It reveals how AI is built, who bears its costs, and why labor rights and governance matter to its future. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, AI depends on hidden human labor, not just software and algorithms. A central argument of the book is that AI is not primarily the product of autonomous machines working on their own. Instead, it relies on a vast amount of human labor that is deliberately kept out of sight. The authors describe data annotators, content moderators, warehouse workers, technicians, and artists as part of the system that makes AI function, even when the technology is marketed as automated. This matters because the common public image of AI encourages people to see it as frictionless, self-improving, and detached from ordinary work. The book counters that image by showing that the training, cleaning, checking, and repair of AI systems are labor-intensive processes. By shifting attention from software to workers, it changes the basic frame of the debate. AI is not just a technical product, but a labor system whose performance depends on repetitive human effort, often under pressure and with little recognition. Secondly, the book exposes the global supply chain behind AI and the inequality built into it. The authors pay close attention to where AI labor happens and who performs it. Much of the work is outsourced to workers in the global south, including countries such as Kenya and Uganda, while the companies that capture the profits are concentrated in wealthier tech hubs. This geographic split is not incidental. It shows that AI development depends on a global division of labor, in which risky, tedious, and emotionally damaging work is pushed toward workers with the least bargaining power. The book connects this pattern to longer histories of colonial and racialized exploitation, making the supply chain a political issue rather than a neutral organizational choice. It also highlights how low wages, insecure contracts, and lack of career mobility are built into the structure of the industry. In this way, the book argues that the inequalities surrounding AI are not side effects to be fixed later. They are foundational to how the technology is currently produced and scaled. Thirdly, content moderation and data labeling reveal the human cost of making AI appear intelligent. One of the book's strongest contributions is its attention to the emotionally and cognitively demanding tasks that support machine learning systems. Data labeling may sound mundane, but it is crucial for teaching models how to classify images, text, or audio. Content moderation is even more visibly harmful because workers must review disturbing material in order to keep digital platforms and training datasets usable. The book treats these jobs as examples of how intelligent systems rely on manual judgment, pattern recognition, and error correction performed by people. This reveals a contradiction at the heart of AI branding. The more companies describe their products as intelligent, the more they depend on workers doing careful, repetitive, and often distressing tasks to keep the illusion intact. The authors use these labor examples to show that AI quality is not just a matter of better code or larger datasets. It is also a matter of who absorbs the psychological burden of making machines seem reliable. Fourthly, AI is described as an extraction machine that turns labor, data, and resources into profit. The book's metaphor of AI as an extraction machine is one of its most important analytical tools. Rather than viewing AI as a neutral instrument, the authors argue that it extracts value from human labor, intellectual property, data, energy, water, and infrastructure in order to benefit large technology firms and investors. This framing helps explain why the book connects labor exploitation to environmental strain and corporate concentration. Data centers require large amounts of electricity and water, while model development depends on undersea cables, chips, and cloud infrastructure controlled by a small number of powerful companies. The extraction metaphor also clarifies how value is captured. Workers contribute the raw human effort, but ownership and profit are concentrated at the top of the chain. By using this lens, the book links AI to broader debates about capitalism, monopoly power, and the politics of infrastructure. Rather than treating it as a purely innovative field, driven by technical progress alone. Lastly, the book argues for worker power, regulation, and democratic control over AI. Feeding the machine is not only diagnostic, it also outlines responses to the problems it identifies. The authors argue that meaningful change requires stronger worker organizations, civil society pressure, regulatory action, and more democratic forms of governance in AI companies. They do not present these as isolated fixes. Instead, the book suggests that labor power, public accountability, and policy reform reinforce one another. Workers need collective organization to negotiate better conditions, while regulators can limit abuse and raise standards across the industry. Civil society can help expose hidden practices and pressure firms that rely on secrecy. The broader implication is that AI should not be governed only by the companies that build it. This makes the book especially relevant to readers interested in labor rights, technology policy, and platform governance. It offers not just criticism of exploitation, but a practical political agenda for changing how AI is produced and who benefits from it. In conclusion, Feeding the Machine will be most valuable to readers who want to understand AI beyond the language of innovation, productivity, and automation. It is especially useful for people working in technology, labor studies, ethics, policy, journalism, and digital rights. But it also speaks to any reader who relies on AI tools without seeing the system behind them. The book's main benefit is that it makes the hidden social relations of AI visible. It explains how labor is organized, where value is extracted, and why the industry's public image often hides the people and resources that make it possible. Compared with many AI books that focus mainly on algorithms, regulation, or future scenarios, this one stands out for centering labor as the key analytical lens. That gives it a sharper political edge and a more concrete social perspective. It is also distinctive because it combines critique with a clear reform agenda, linking diagnosis to worker power, accountability, and democratic control. For readers looking for a serious, grounded account of AI's real costs, it offers a strong corrective to celebratory or purely technical narratives. If you would like to support Callum Cant, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.